Welcome to Stories in the Valley. I'm your host, Charles Kiernan. Friday is the Story Fusion Festival at the Northampton Community College. And our headliners are Jennings and Ponder. They are storytellers from Vermont. And I, for one, am looking very much forward to hearing them. As a matter of fact, I called them earlier today and asked them this question. What can our audience expect to hear on Saturday night when you're doing The Vampire Princess?
Well, we'll be telling three stories. It's a selection because the whole show can take a whole evening. But we'll be telling three stories that is part of a show and an album that we came up with starting about a couple years ago. And the centerpiece of the show is a story from a book of Czechoslovakian stories, Czech stories, actually, but it specifically is a gypsy tale. She's not exactly what we think of as being a vampire now, either, and in fact, we feel stupid for not calling it the gypsy soldier, because it really is more about the soldier than it is about the vampire. It's a bit sardonic. It's Eastern European. They don't have a very high opinion of the normal people, those gypsies, and they certainly don't have a high opinion of the king or his daughter. And it ends very well. And the other stories that we're going to be telling, there's one about, which is a Mexican-German kind of a story. And there's a story I believe we're going to tell you from India, which is a good way to end. They're funny, and they're old, and yet they have a lot of what seems to be contemporary social content to them.
Yeah, Mexican-German?
We learned this story. We got it from Joseph Sobel. He'd been teaching in English as a second language in Chicago, worked with folktales, and there was a Mexican up there who had this story. The story plainly has something to do with Grimm's Godfather Death, but it's very Mexican. And the Germans moved to Mexico in large numbers at one point, but yeah. It is recognizable as the Grimm tale, and yet it has this strong Day of the Dead quality to it.
Looking forward to hearing that one.
Well, we've been doing this for about 30 years together, and we got together first just to get together. Then we added some music, and we'll be bringing this music with us. We have a harp and a concertina and a ukulele, and we'll be doing some Irish and American folk music. We definitely do have a kind of a vibe, and that was what drew us together. We both were artists. Leanne was a writer and a poet, and I was a storyteller. We both met through the Arts Council. When we started playing music on the street, Leanne, as a recovering poet, thought that was really good money. We were doing that.
And it was very pleasant. Burlington has a very fine main mall.
There's not traffic.
And to play the harp there, I actually started playing the harp because I watched somebody else play a small harp. I saw the people passing by, and they would start out with this very worried look on their face because they were shopping and trying to remember what they wanted, and all of a sudden their face would just become calm and happy. And I thought, boy, if I could do that to somebody, I would really like that. And as it turned out, I really enjoyed playing the harp. In fact, I never did a bit of writing after I got the harp. I just...
She used to listen to harp music while she was playing music, and then she started playing the music and not typing anymore. And she says much happier, although I get a lot of grief from writers for having lured her away from the solitary pleasures of that.
The blending of your voices is just something people have to hear.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to this so much. Well, thanks so much for talking to us, and we're looking forward to seeing you live on stage.
Once there was a little brown thrush who lived in a tree
near a cotton bush.
She used to take bits of fluff from the bush to line her nest, and after a while she had a lot of fluff left over.
So she took her leftover fluff to the man who sells cotton, and she told him,
"If you clean the seeds from this fluff and roll it into cotton balls for me, you can keep half of them."
The cotton ball maker agreed. He was an honest man. He didn't cheat the bird.
Though he probably could have.
And they both had cotton, four balls each.
Then the thrush went to a spinster.
And said,
"If you spin this cotton into yarn for me, you can keep half of it."
The spinster was an honest woman. She didn't cheat.
So they both got cotton yarn, two spools each.
Then the thrush went to the weaver and said,
"If you weave this yarn into cloth for me, you can keep half of it."
Weaver was an honest man.
He didn't cheat.
And they both got cotton cloth, one square each.
Now the thrush went to the seamstress
and said,
"If you make half of this cloth into clothing for me, you can keep the other half for yourself."
The seamstress agreed. She cut out the little pieces, and she took the bird's little measurements, and she sewed them together into an
elegant
little cotton dress
with a matching blouse and jacket,
all in the latest style.
Now, the seamstress kept half of the cloth. That was the bargain. But from the thrush's half, there was a little scrap left over.
And because she was an honest woman,
and because she liked the little bird so much,
she turned that little scrap into
a hat.
And dressed in her new clothes, the bird flew away till she came to a still pond, and there she looked at herself in the water.
Something's missing.
And she plucked out one of her best feathers and stuck it in the hat.
"Perfect,"
she said.
And away she flew
to the royal court
to show herself to
the king. In the great hall where the king sat, there was a peg set high up on the wall.
The thrush flew in the window, lit on the peg, and sang and hopped and turned herself around.
"Come down here, little birdie,"
said the king.
"Show everybody your pretty clothes."
The thrush was flattered and pleased. She flew down
to the table
and took off the little hat so the king could see how well it was made. Then she flew
back up to the peg again
and waited to see what would happen.
The king
picked up the little hat and looked at it closely. Then he looked back at the thrush.
And he put the hat in his pocket.
"Give me my hat."
Then everybody laughed,
and the king said,
"Come down here and get it."
So the thrush flew back
down to the table again
and hopped a little closer, but the king
caught her and held her fast.
"Let me go. Let me go."
But he wouldn't let her go.
He was king,
but
he was not an honest man. Greedy king. "Taking my hat."
"I want more than your hat,"
said the king.
"I want you. I'm going to chop you up and eat you."
And he started right in.
But as he was chopping, the bird began to sing.
"He cuts and clips and cuts and clips, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. The king is like my seamstress, but he's nowhere near as honest."
And when he stopped chopping, when the pieces were all chopped, he started washing them, but each of the pieces went on singing.
"He rubs and scrubs and rinses too, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. The king is like a laundry man,
but nowhere near as honest."
Then the king put all the pieces into a pan.
A little olive oil, a little bit of garlic, and started stirring them up. But as he was cooking them, as all the pieces were tossing and turning in the pot, they all went on singing.
"He salts and stirs and fries us up.
He salts and stirs and fries us up.
Tra-la, something like a cook.
The king is something like a cook. Nowhere near as honest.
Nowhere near as honest."
And when the pieces were all done, the king ate them up.
But from inside the king's belly,
still,
"Here I am inside the king's belly.
The king became
like
some kind of
walking
music box. He didn't like it.
No, not
one bit.
But it was his own fault. Wherever he went,
whatever he did,
people could hear the thrush singing out from inside him.
La 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 la, the king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest."
Everybody who heard this began to despise the king.
They began to point at him and sing along mockingly.
Tra la 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 la, the king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest.
Pretty soon, everybody was singing along with the thrush.
Tra la 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 la, the king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest.
And when I say everybody was singing along with the thrush, I mean everybody was singing along with the thrush.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la, the king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest.
And they sang it louder!
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la, the king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest.
Then the most amazing thing started happening. The king would come in from that door there. Everybody on that side of the room, the great hall that he came into, oh, they'd hear that. They'd start singing along. Then the king would come in a little further, and then the people on this side of the room, why, they'd hear that song. They'd start singing along a little bit later because the king was getting along further. So it was almost,
sort of like,
more or less,
dare we say,
around.
The king comes this side, and here's what they hear. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la. The king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest. Tra-la-la-la-la-la. The king is just like any man, but nowhere near as honest.
Finally, the king
couldn't
stand it any longer.
He called for his royal doctors.
Cut this bird out of my stomach.
We could do that,
said the royal doctors.
We could do that, but
then
your majesty would
die.
I don't care. Everybody's singing at me and laughing at me and pointing at me. I can't do anything about it. Just cut it out.
So the doctors kept the bird out.
And sure enough, the king died.
But from inside the king's belly, the most amazing thing had happened. All the pieces of the thrush had joined back together again, and now out the window she flew.
Oh, but her pretty clothes were all gone.
Good,
she said.
Who needs clothes? I'm a bird. I've got feathers.
Oh, but now the people had no king.
Good,
they said.
Who needs kings?
We're the people!
We can tell each other what to do. And from that day on,
everybody knew.
Always keep your promises
to people
and beasts and birds.
Now this story ends with a thought
for
you.
Now this story ends
your
with
voice,
a
no
thought
matter how
for you.
Small it may be,
your voice, no matter how
true.
Small it may be, still
now
can sing what's true.
Now this story ends with a thought
for you. Now this story ends with a thought for you.
Your
voice, no matter how small it may be, still can sing what's true. Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, bum.
That was Tim Jennings and Leanne Ponder. They will be performing at the Story Fusion Festival this coming Friday and Saturday. Also performing on Saturday will be Mary Wright. She will be opening for Jennings and Ponder. Here's a little story from Mary.
The Ghost Road. Once, long ago, in a far-off place, there was a road. It was a long road, which wound through steep mountains and impassable passes, with only a few remote villages clinging to its borders. And it was known as the Ghost Road. Perhaps you can imagine why. One day, a young Li Su woman made her way along the path. On her shoulder slept a small infant. And by the other hand, she led another small child of about 3 years old. The sun shone and the birds sang, but as she walked, the young woman suddenly felt eyes upon her. She looked into the forest that lined the road, but saw no one. She walked more quickly, urging the small child along. And then she felt a damp, cold nip at her heels. The baby stirred on her shoulder, and the child whimpered and pulled on her mother's hand. We cannot go back, my love. We can only go forward until we reach home. A shadow covered the sun, and the damp chill surrounded her. The woman looked behind her. She saw no one. She quickened her pace, and the child whimpered more loudly. the air turned to ice. She felt cold, thin fingers on her shoulder. Gasping, she turned and pulled the child behind her and cradled the baby in her arms. How interesting! Someone on this road going my way. It was the angel of death who stood before her. I am on my way to the village beyond. Tonight I must take the soul of a child. The woman held on to her own children more tightly. But perhaps I need to go no farther. Perhaps I can finish my task right now. Which of your children will you give me? I'll not give you either of my children. If you do not, I will destroy your entire village. The woman stared at the angel. The earth seemed to stand still. She turned her head from the angel of death and looked at her two children. The oldest stared back at her mother, her eyes big with fear. The infant moved fitfully in her arms. Space turned slowly inside her. She smelled the sweet smell of the baby's skin and felt the soft curve of the child's fingers in her hand. She looked again at the dark figure. This child is my oldest. She is my own. For 3 years, she has been loved by me each and every day. This infant is an orphan. Only today have I taken her as my own. She has had no love. I will give you my oldest child. She has at least known love. The angel of death did not move, and the child stared silently into his face. I will not take this child. I will come tonight to the village to complete my task. Here is what you must do. Plant a green sapling tree in front of your house. This is how I will know not to come to that house. And the angel of death was gone. The chill vanished from the air and the sunlight returned, and the woman hurried home to her village. As night fell, the angel of death approached the village. As he searched among the houses, he was surprised to find, in front of each and every one, a green sapling, freshly planted. In front of every house, save one. He approached that house. The door opened, and inside he was surprised to find the very same woman he had met on the road, her two children by her side. Why did you not plant a sapling in front of your house? When I returned to the village, no one would believe my story. So all afternoon I gathered and planted saplings in front of the houses. But I knew that no one can hide from death. I knew that you would come, and I did not want to see the village destroyed. Love protected my child in the face of death this morning. I do not know if the same can happen again tonight. It is not told what the angel of death decided in that moment, but every new year, the Lisu people plant in front of their homes green saplings. They decorate and dance around the new green trees to celebrate the arrival of yet another year.
That was Mary Wright. The Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild holds its storytelling circle at Godfrey Daniels at 7 East 4th Street in Bethlehem on the second Wednesdays of the month at 7:30 p.m., except the month of August. Come and listen to stories or try out a story yourself. We are a friendly audience, and the event is free. Have fun and keep a story in your heart.